bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just truly, Lord, it never gets old. Father, we have health and strength, breath in our bodies. Father, we hear the call to gather together. Lord, I'm so appreciative. Lord, that desire is placed within our hearts by you. That gene of God to fulfill every word. Lord, to be able to hear you speak. And then, Lord, check ourselves. Lord, every day, drawing closer to you. Father, looking forward to that rapture, Lord, to be able to go home and be with you forever. Lord, it's so close, Lord, we can feel it, we can see it. Lord Jesus, have mercy and grace in our lives. Guide each and every one. Lord, we ask that you would just bless the service tonight. Everyone that's gathered or listening. Father, may your will be done in everything. Feed us when we have need, as only you know. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Let the page 105 in the Holy Glee books. Amen. Yes. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Yes, I do.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, I love that man. Or Of blessings.
Yes, amen.
Truly, he knows what we need, saints.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above.
Song, but oh, I want to see you. I want to make you want to see him, saints. All his blessings to you.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace.
Day. Let's sing that chord. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. With my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face. The one who saves me by his grace. And when he takes
your word.
special tonight. Grace, you got my ask for you to come.
When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, when you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems you're standing all alone, when the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again, of disappointment, look around, you'll find the faith. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day.
wonderful.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly thankful for another opportunity to come in, Lord, and to fill your precious Holy Spirit here with us, and know, Lord, that you're ever mindful of your people. And Lord, we truly have just come tonight, Lord, just to let you have your way. And Lord, you know all things, and Father, the things we'll read this evening to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. Lord, just praying that it'll do a help somewhere along the way. Father, you know all about it. And Lord, we just are thankful to know that you are the one true God. And Lord, you still lead by your Holy Spirit. And Father, you're not slumbering. You're mindful, and you know where we're standing today. And Father, we are so thankful, as you said in Isaiah 49, that we're engraven on the palms of your hand, Lord. And we just pray tonight that as we rehearse your word, Lord, something will be said to stir our hearts. And we ask it all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is wonderful.
Yes,
amen.
He is.
While you're still standing, if you would, if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. Just want to stir your minds up tonight by some things the prophet said. It may not be a lengthy message, and it may not be a great big long text, but I think if we'll just, if nothing else, maybe it'll cause you to go back and reread some of these things and just to meditate upon it. We're definitely living in the last days, and you don't need me to go back right at this moment. Our pastor has done a wonderful job over the years of showing us the deception of the age and what the prophets brought, realizing where we're standing, and we're coming down to the time God's word must be manifested and vindicated in individuals. It's not a group affair. It's not a church affair. It's not a, I'm going to do this because my brother does it. I'm going to do this because my sister does it. But each individual before God has got to stand there with their own, knowing that God has revealed himself to them, and that the life that they're living and the decisions they make every day are not accountable to a church, not accountable to anyone else, but you're accountable to God. And he will honor his word, whether it be for blessings or whether it be for cursings, as our brother was saying this morning. We must understand we're not playing church anymore. It's coming to a close, and we've been given an opportunity, and how it should really strike our hearts in a greater measure. And I just want to renew your minds to things here in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. We'll start here, and you can be seated in just a moment. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, in the 1st verse. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. You know, we truly have got to be a people that truly realize where we're standing. And there are so many throughout the land today, whether, and no, not pointing to any one individual, but it's evident. Jesus, when he was here, he said, by your fruits you will know them. And he, how many times he expounded, watch the fruit is being provided and you will see what's there. And then he sent a prophet in this last day to truly expound and to show forth those two spirits in the vines entwined into the church. We're not ignorant
we are not left wondering. We're truly coming to a time to where the life that you live is showing forth who and what you are. Whether you're here or somewhere else, it doesn't matter. And I can only speak as I feel pressed to speak, what's on my heart. But how we truly are seeing, and only God knows. He said he knew who he chose before the foundation of the world. That's not for me to say. That's not for you to say. It's not to say when the door's shut, when it's open. I don't know, but we know that day's coming. Yes. And only God knows. Noah didn't know what day God was going to tell him to go in there and shut the door on that ark. But we must prepare for that day, just as it was then. This is the day we knew and we've lived for. We've believed it. We've went to church. And, you know, we've spent our life dedicated to this word. For what? Just to be a churchgoer? Just to be someone that's attended services? Or to be someone that'll truly let this word take them over? And, you know, I can truly, I'm not old by no means. I can look back and see the paths of life that I've walked through. And I can point you to a million churchgoers. I can show you people that went to church and paid tithes and paid offerings and never paid the first heed to the word that was preached. It never took effect in their lives, and by their fruits it showed they were not living for Jesus Christ. And you say, you can't say that. Well, Brother Branham said it like this: is your life worthy of the gospel? And just bear this in mind and just keep, let these... Like I said, I'm not here to point fingers at anyone here or anywhere, but just to let God's word saturate us, to maybe help us realize where we're standing. Yes, paragraph 152, he says, I went into a man's office here in the city, and the man is a trustee or a deacon. It is a fine church. And I went in there to see that man about some business. And there was a radio over there with that rock and roll and twist, whatever it was, just as hard as it could go. And I guess there was 40 pinups in his office of nude women. And you can't tell me how much deacon or how much more. You let me see what you look at, what you read, what kind of music you listen to, and the crowd you associate with, and I will tell you what kind of spirit is in you. Yes. You hear a guy say, me do so and so, and that bunch, just remember, I don't care what he says. His words speak louder, his actions speak louder than what anything could say. He could testify and say he's a Christian, sure, maybe do anything. But you just watch the kind of life he lives, and that tells what he is. Amen. Now, let's forget everybody else for a moment, and let's just let that soak into each one of us as an individual. Yes, my life every day is determining, is Jesus first in my life? And we got to look at each our own selves. It ain't about no one else. This is an individual affair. And we've got to realize that it's so easy to come underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and say, that's for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so needs that. And we miss that God was maybe trying to deal with our own heart to show us, as I said this morning, we are weighed in the balance. Even this morning, I'm weighed in the balance of the word that's brought forth, the striking of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. And as we think about this, how true it is in the age that we're living in, that's why God sent a prophet to truly show, not just to finish all the mysteries, but it was a voice to show that little bride where to stand. That she wouldn't be deceived and go off chasing over here and go chasing over there looking for something else when it's laying right here in front of us. And how it ought to strike our hearts in a greater reality. You know, it's so easy in this day and age, and it's hard to get maybe... To make it understand in the words we've used before to maybe present that is, there's a lot of quoters in this message. And it's easy to quote it. It's easy for me to go back and quote the Ten Commandments. That's easy. But is it evident in my life? Is it evident in your life? It's easy for me to quote a woman should be under subjection to her husband, but as a woman, do I match that scripture? Am I a mirror that's reflected through? It's easy for me to quote, a man should love his wife as Christ so loved the church. But am I a mirror that is image is mirrored through, showing forth to this people and to this nation that word is made alive? That's where we've got to. And you've got to be honest with yourself. As we look around and see the chaos, it's not. You don't have to look. You don't have to wonder. The word came. You heard. We've all heard the opportunity to hear the same words by God's grace. In this message, we had a prophet come. How many times have we played the tapes? How many times have we read the books? We became forgetful hearers. Many have. And we are not taking heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And we get to a place we feel truly become, we're playing church so often. And it doesn't have a reality to it. It doesn't have a ring to it. And it just becomes as water on a duck's back. We don't care anymore. It doesn't strike our hearts. It doesn't prick our hearts. And it doesn't truly shake us to the core. As I said, if you knew, you just look in the natural at how many people today can commit murder, can commit all kinds of evil. No remorse. They don't feel sorry for it. Take them to court. They got a good lawyer. They'll sit in that courtroom as defiant as they can be and sit there and all the way to the last minute till that judge bangs that gavel and says, here's your sentence, and you watch them fall apart. That day is coming for this entire world. The great judge is going to bang his gavel, and where will you stand? What will be your sentence? We have an opportunity. Jesus Christ paid a price and is standing there as a mediator between us and God to shed that precious blood for that little elect. But are we taking it serious as to the hour in which we live? Do we listen to these things? If we just become, like I said, it's just a moment of to realize people have lost the importance of what God has said. They've lost the importance of why we come to church. They've lost the, that's why there isn't prayer meetings. That's why there isn't a crying out to God. It's just become tradition. It's what we've got to is a tradition that I believe a prophet came. I go to church. We listen to the message. We listen to the music. We do everything that we should do as a Christian. We look really nice, but our hearts are far from Him. Yes. And I say that as an individual. Like I said, I'm not here to point fingers or say it's here or there. Just listen to God's word, yes, as He put it. Let's turn to Mark 7 and read what Jesus said. Amen. Amen. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to preach this evening, and I just said, Lord, He said, take no thought to what you shall say. There's a time and place. And sometimes you just have to go that way, and that's what we're going to do this evening. Just some things that I feel pressed to read. Amen. Mark 7. And let's just pick up here about the fifth verse of Mark 7. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And He answered and He said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things like ye do. And He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And I looked that up to just put a little more understanding. Corban is, it was a gift to the ministry or the priesthood or to the church at that time. And by so as a child, they were responsible for their parents and to take care of them. But if they took all of their wealth and gave it to the church or to the priest at that time, they were no more, they were saying they were free from their responsibility to their mother and father. And that's what Jesus is trying to show them here. It don't matter what you think. God's word done and spoke. You got no right to change it. But the priest had said they could be free. And He says, ye shall be free. Ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. And when He called the people unto Him, He said, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Amen. So just listen, as you think about this, just look around us at how many churches, and I'm going to say churches because God's word didn't do that. But churches have created traditions amongst themselves of what they're going to do and how they're going to do it on all manner of things. From we have seen it in all sorts, and not pointing one out, not excluding one or the other. But if it didn't come from God's word, it's a tradition of man. And many are holding to things that does not come from God's precious word. But some teacher, some past preacher, some past evangelist, some past doctrine is standing there But this is the day that it was to come back to the faith of the that was originally delivered to the fathers. A revelation back to Jesus Christ and Him having the preeminence in our hearts and in our lives. And how as we see this moment upon us, it truly should shake us to realize, am I caught up in some past tradition in my own mind? That doesn't necessarily mean the church itself or the pastor's caught in a tradition, but we can catch our own selves into a tradition or to a dogma or a creed, and we become a denomination to ourselves. We've established something, and this is where I stand, and I'm not going to move from it. And it's contrary to God's word. And we're in that time to where we can think we're so right. And God's word, if we harden ourselves, and this goes for me, for you, any of us, we need to be tenderized and humbled by the Holy Spirit and come back to humility to truly realize that I am nothing more than a pile of dust. And that I stand here by the grace of God. And yes, maybe I've heard this word and I've heard this word, but is it a true reality and living in my life? And can I truly, as I said, it's got to be just like walking up to a mirror and a reflection. And every word shining back forth. Or can I go through a week and truly realize by the end of the week, how do I stop and take reflection at the end of the day even? Lord, what have I done today? Is there anything that I can look back that you can give the Holy Spirit a chance to search your life and to search your mind and say, Lord, have I offended someone? Did I do something I shouldn't have done? But do we never take the time to reflect on what God said and what He's expecting of me until I walk through a church door and then that's my time to come to church and I'll see what we got to hear? But it's an everyday affair. It's a love affair. You know, He is our husband and we're longing to see Him, and what a love relationship should be in our hearts and our lives.
Yes,
and it's truly, you can see the ones that go to church because they want to just be part of something, and you can see where their first love lies. It's pretty evident. Don't take long. Listen to their conversation. Watch a few things that happens, and it pretty much, you just have to just judge their characteristics. It's pretty easy. God's word has showed us that. That's not making you a judge. I don't mean that person can't get right, but I'm saying at this point in time, you watch the life that's being lived, it's showing you where that person's standing. And that goes for each of us. And if nothing else, take the attention off everybody else tonight and let's focus it to ourselves and our own personal lives that we're living. But if you would, turn over here with me to 2 Timothy. I know I said it wasn't going to be very lengthy. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy, and I just want you to, now Paul was speaking to Timothy here, but I think these words are very fitting for today, and I think if we would each one, we may not all be ministers, we may not all be doing this, but if we'll listen to what Paul was saying here, I think it's very fitting for the time and place. And saints, you just can't help it, but we truly have got to the place of, you know, how you can truly feel if you went to buy something from somebody at a dealership, and we'll just use that for an example. And they make you all these wonderful promises, and this is the sweetest deal you're going to get, and you're going to get all these things. And then you go back and you sign on the dotted line, and then when it comes time for delivery, about six things that was on that list that you were promised is missing. You're going to feel really cheated. And that's where I feel like the Lord must feel today. When He looks at the people and the lives, all that He's promised and all that they're boasting they're going to give back to Him, He's feeling pretty cheated in what He's getting in return. And that's just a little example to kind of think about. Because people have come to the place, everybody wants to be the all-knowing spiritual person in this message. They want to be able to say they know exactly what Brother Branham said. They know exactly what was said here. They know exactly when this happened over here and exactly why that happened over there. You know, there was a lot happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that never got wrote down. There was a whole lot that got wrote in the time the Lord Jesus Christ was walking this earth, and there was a whole lot happened in Paul's ministry that didn't get recorded. But God knew what it would take for that bride to be ready in this day, and it has been recorded. I don't need to second guess. I don't need to go back and try to get somebody else. No, God made sure that bride, wherever she's at all over this earth, before that rapture takes place, we'll have an opportunity to hear that word.
Yes, amen.
And yes, we are the first partakers, being blessed to have that prophet here in this land.
Yes.
And to see it ministered to us. and how it ought to strike our hearts in a greater measure to take that more seriously. But here in 2 Timothy, and just listen as Paul speaking to Timothy here, start at the second chapter. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman and the laborer must be the first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord giveth thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom it is Hymenaeus and Philetus, I believe is how you say that, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. No, just bear witness. The first church, here we go. The first age and its beginning. It was there. Men of corrupt minds taking the word of God and going a whole different direction than what had been preached. As our pastor made mention of what Paul said this morning, just think about it. This is not new. God knew it was going to happen. He allowed it to happen to see it take place and through his work that he knew was going to take place. And how we should guard and be a people knowing these things, how we should truly guard ourselves and to be careful not to take sides with anything, but to try to stand neutral on God's, stay on God's word, neutral in the conflicts, I should say. Not just to go, well, I'm going to be neutral on this subject, but no, take God's word and stand on that, but not side with this side to the right or the left, but stay right on God's word. And if, you know, it's so easy. God sent gifts to the church for a reason, and how we must truly honor and respect that God knew what he was doing when he gave those gifts and he placed them in the church for the bride's benefit, to the edifying of that body, and how we must truly in humility understand and truly know that God does show them more sometimes than us as the laity may see. And we must realize that, but we must also realize we're standing in a time and a place God meant what he says, and his word does have repercussions. And at some point, you know, all these things, we must truly take them the way he said it and the way he meant it, and truly let it have full sway in our hearts and in our lives. And he goes on here, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if you'll just let the Holy Spirit bring the word to your heart, there's many quotes of what the prophet said, as is what the Lord spoke through that prophet, that'll fit right into these verses of Scripture. And you'll see where they came from, where it fits. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness and faith and love and peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and in Iconium and Lystra, with what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And saints, we have lived in a time where man tried to make his own persecution by the way people were treated. But you take a true stand on God's precious word, and you let your light shine before men, and you watch those that will snub you turn their nose, turn their back, and walk away from you. Try to make you look belittled. Try to show themselves to be more superior to you. That is fine. This is their world. I've got one to come. Amen. Yes. And how Paul was, if you can think back through the things Paul has said, how we should truly live humbly and in humility. They sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. You know, this is their world. This is what they have. But by God's grace, we've been called to a higher purpose, a place to truly be a people that he could identify himself through. And when I say we, I don't mean just this church. I mean those called out individuals before Christ Jesus. Wherever they may be upon this earth, gathered underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he will lead them into all truths. And their lives will truly be a vindication. I truly believe, as Brother Branham said, you create an atmosphere. And though you may come in contact with someone that may not be living the word 100%, they may be lacking in understanding, but you can come in contact with the Spirit and you can know that there is something there, that if you present it, God, it'll do a work. It may take a few times. You might have to present the word and walk away, but you plant that seed, it will grow if that little seed's laying in there. You watch the Holy Spirit go to work and bring that thing forth. Amen. That's what I'm saying. It's sometimes it's not for me to say who will or who won't. It's not for you to say that. But people have got to see something real. This message has created, and I say this with grace and hopefully take me right in what I'm going to say, but lack of understanding and human being intellects getting involved with what God tried to do has created more dictators in this message and people with false ideas and false revelations that's caused such a mockery on God that look to bring a reproach back upon him. They've crucified him afresh. And how it is today that somebody has got to rise on the scene that can stand there and stand firm for Jesus Christ in this day and hold forth that truth that's been set forth, and to let their lives, not that their mouths would say anything, but their lives would bear witness that Jesus Christ is on the control seat of their heart. Amen. Amen. And every word that's spoken and said, that it becomes a living reality, a true written epistle. Amen. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to get worse. It ain't done yet, saints. It's going to continue. Just be assured. It's only going to get worse from here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. And if only your assurance is in this church, if I go to the Capstone Life and I know they're preaching truth, if that's the only assurance you've got, you're not going to make it very far. But you've got to have an assurance that the word that you are believing is that of what the Holy Ghost to them prophets have declared from the beginning to the end. That it's thus saith the Lord, and I'll hold to that right there. Amen. And if don't put no private interpretation to it, but let God dip it into our hearts. Don't draw conclusions. Everybody thinks they have to understand everything. Everybody wants to be able to tell exactly how things are going to be and where it's going to happen. It don't matter. If God wanted to know the details for some things, he would have spelled it right out for us, but he didn't. There's some things that he'll reveal himself throughout eternity, and by God's grace, we'll find out one of these days. But for now, I will take what I know he said, and let's live by that. Amen. And see that made real in our lives. That's the thing. People want to fuss and argue and get into all kinds of things. But if they would just take the simple truth and say, I believe Jesus Christ above everything else and follow him to the letter, everything else would fall right in line for them. Amen. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures and were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you know, let me say this, as he says there, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And that's true. Timothy was probably raised. A lot of us have been raised in this message. We've had the opportunity to hear it. But the understanding I have did not come from my mother and father teaching me. What's burning in my heart is not because they raised me in church themselves. That was good, and I appreciate the incubator that I had to be brought up in the admonition of the Lord and to be raised up in that. But this, he, the Holy Ghost will teach you and lead you and guide you into all truths. Not your parents, not your pastor, the Holy Ghost. And that's why it is so important today. You must be born again. If you don't understand the words and we look and read the scriptures, that's so confusing. I don't understand. Why do we worry about the way we dress? Why do we worry about why we... Cry out for the Holy Ghost and you'll understand why. He will teach you. You know, there's many people that's never been to church a day in their lives. You let them come in and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you just watch them. Watch it as the word came forth in Africa. Blanketed natives that couldn't even understand English, but as the word went forth through an interpreter, watch them cover up and put their clothes on, as it's been mentioned. Think about the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need back in our midst, is a people that's hungry. Not to see works, not to see jumping and shouting, but to truly see the Holy Spirit shaking in their lives and bringing themselves in a personal relationship to a point that they can truly feel that for themselves. Yes. Not relying on daddy's shirt tail or mommy's shirt tail, but they're standing here because God has spoke to their heart and drawn them to this place. Not just following a group, not following a family tradition, but following Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and from a child that thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. So think about these things as Paul is writing these things, how it ought to truly strike into our hearts in a greater measure. And if you sisters can come to the instruments, if you would. But here in the message, Spiritual Amnesia, just listen to what the prophet was saying, and may it just kind of go into our hearts in a greater measure. As we see, many are turning to fables and wise tales and keeping to their own selves teachers that, as our pastor made mention this morning, but if you want a church, you can find a church that believes what you believe. You can do what you want. That's why we've got Catholics and 25 or who knows how many different groups. We've got Baptists, and they've got so many different groups, and it doesn't matter. They've all become a denomination to themselves. That's a denominational spirit. And as it's been, you know, you can look through this land and you can see the Nicolaitan spirit so strong, yes. Heady and high-minded. And it just oozes off some people. That you can just see it. You see it on their face, a proud look. You can just tell. You just see it so much more. And you know, that's not for me. It's just, if you get in the Spirit and you're walking with the Holy Spirit, as I said, you can feel that atmosphere. Yes. You can tell. And it's not for me. You just lean upon the Holy Spirit. It's not for me to go, or you to go try to point these things out, but just be wise and harmless as a dove. Here in Spiritual Amnesia, April 11th, 1964, paragraph 70. When the world and the church joins itself together, they don't want nothing spiritual. They don't want thus saith the Lord. They want what they want. Yes. They want the world and to say they're a Christian and to live in the world and live with the world and live like the world and still maintain their confession of being a Christian. You know, the thing of it is, it's spiritual amnesia. That's exactly what it is. They don't know who they are. They've forgotten that what they were supposed to do. If one would come today like that, it would be rejected just the same. And they had had a bad case of it, and so have they today. They could not identify themselves with the supernatural things anymore because they didn't want it. The word, the gospel, they didn't want it. Sin, disease had afflicted them, and they loved that. Sin is pleasant to the unconverted heart. It looks good to be unconverted. It looks good to the unconverted mind. But it's the way of death. There's nothing left but death. The wages of sin is death, and you must reap them. Wages you've sowed to the winds and now reaping the whirlwind. The spiritual signs and the preaching of an ordained messenger from God never stirred them anymore. The women would laugh right in their face and say, I don't have to go hear such stuff as that. If that hasn't been repeated again, what is it? Spiritual amnesia. Exactly what it is. They have forgotten that God and His Word is the same, and He cannot change it. If a prophet rose on the scene in them days and gave a spiritual sign, a spiritual voice, and gave the voice of God behind it, they'd only laugh at it and make fun of it. And I say this, don't ever forget that when the Word's being preached, it might be here, it might be somewhere else, but the genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit is watching over His Word. And no matter how it comes, how it makes you feel, don't ever make fun of it. Don't ever laugh at it. And don't ever make fun of the minister that brought it, thinking he don't know what he's talking about. Because it's not the minister up here you're going to answer to, but you're going to answer to God. And you always remember that. You young people, old people, it don't matter. Don't ever harbor a thought. Just remember, it might be me, it might be your pastor, it might be some other brother, it might be Brother Smith coming Thursday night, might say something. And you might laugh in your heart or begin to think, don't do it. Give God His respects, He demands it. And make sure you reverence what's brought. And if you don't understand it and you think it, pray and ask God to open your heart that you would be able to receive what's been preached. Be very, very careful. It's so easy in this day and age to shut God out and maybe lose the last opportunity you have. Don't do it. If a prophet rose on the scene in them days and gave a spiritual sign and a spiritual voice and gave the voice of God behind it, they'd only laugh at it and make fun of it. You know the old saying, fools walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod. And that's what this spiritual amnesia does. It makes people get to a spot till they have no feeling on the inside of them. They don't want nothing that's spiritual. Take a real spiritual meeting where the Holy Spirit is healing the sick or discerning the thoughts that's in the heart and put it in among all the churches, just a great rally where this is a stadium. Look what would happen. In a few minutes, everybody would be getting up and walking out. They'd have nothing to do with it. They don't want nothing to do with it. They'll listen to some intellectual talk. But when it comes to the power of Jesus Christ and His resurrection and the Holy Ghost, they want nothing to do with it because it condemns them. And it sets them afire with the thing they ought to know. And when you sit here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you hear that word coming, and it's truly coming down the line, and it makes you want to get up and run, you just remember, it's the Holy Spirit pecking on your shoulder, trying to show you the things you ought to know, and the things you ought to take heed to, and how we should truly, instead of running from it, yield to it and ask the Lord to make the change that we need in our lives, to bring that true baptism of the Holy Ghost, that I would come subject to that word. It sets them afire with a thing they ought to know. No chastisement, of course, is pleasant for the season, but if you'll yield to it, it brings forth the fruit of repentance. So we find out when the spiritual amnesia gets a hold of the people, and then they are in bad condition, and we find that the same now. But you must be identified somewhere. You must show, your life shows tonight where you are identified. You are identified either in Christ or out of Christ. And remember, that's the only two categories. There's no such thing as a drunk sober man. There is no black-white bird. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're a saint or a sinner, one or the other. And your spiritual attitude towards God's words identifies you exactly where you're standing right. So just think about that and meditate on that. You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. And you know, sometimes we want to make excuses for ourselves and for others. There is no middle ground. Our life tonight shows we're either in or we're out. And we know as individuals whether we're in or whether we're out. Don't matter what I got to say about it. As individuals, each one of us know where our heart stands with the Lord. Yes. And He is here every time. He's here wherever you may be, waiting for the opportunity, if you're not in there, to get you in there. When you're ready in humility to say, Lord, I need you to open that door. But just remember, God's word is showing us. It's not a man, it's not a church saying this is wrong. No, God delivered His word. And it's not an opinion. It's laying there for each one of us to read. Now, we can interpret it how we want. As we hear many times, Brother Branham didn't mean that. Paul didn't mean that. This is what he meant. This is why it was said like that. And this is how that interpretation goes. The minute you have to start into down that path of going away, when there's other scriptures that you're walking over top of and stumbling over, we need to stop where we're at and go back. Amen. And recite our gun in. Amen. And how we ought to think about these things. But we need to think soberly about the place and time we're standing. And where we are, because Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he knows his time to work is short. And he's going to try more tactics than he's ever tried. And how we must be certain as individuals before God, we are fortified with God's word, that we can stand and then stand some more in his precious anointing. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Pray you can take something from it. Saints, I am not a pastor, but I can understand the frustrations, and I can frustrations isn't the right word, but the pressure that would be on some minister that has a flock, and you've got to put yourself. It's no different than having children, and truly raising them and seeing them getting down a road that you know they shouldn't be down, doing things that maybe you know what's waiting, you've lived there yourself, you know what's coming, and trying to do that. And as a parent, sometimes it can be very just overwhelming. Just how do you deal with this? I face things in my life that as a parent you couldn't have no control over. You can't do nothing. There's nothing you can say except go to God in prayer and ask Him to turn the situation. Amen. And I've seen Him do it. So how much more, as we're facing this time, how much more we should be crying out? Amen. Lord, let me be one. Because it's a cold, lukewarm age, and it's fallen apart. But there's got to come forth one that not only has the mechanics, but the dynamics of it together that makes it live and work in a people's lives. And by God's grace, I pray that's burning in our hearts to be one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as our pastor comes. Amen.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He comes.
like to read something just real quick, just to fortify and make it larger, a little bit larger, what Brother Timothy was speaking on, showing you again it's in continuity, and showing you how right it is, the scriptures he spoke of. But Brother Branham is saying here in the Church Age book on page 373, he says, take a look around you. Now that's what he sounds to do. Take a look around you. Examine the people as they walk by. So don't feel ill when I've said the things I've said about this. Okay? And he's, as Brother Timothy spoke on, examine the people as they walk by. In the multitudes you see, can you pick out those that have the appearance of Christians? Watch how they dress. He says, watch how they act. Hear what they say. See where they go. Surely, there ought to be some real evidence of the new birth. Evidence of a new birth among all those who see and go by. Surely there's got to be an evidence. Of course, he brought out more than token. But the next words is what's so shocking. But few will be. Yet today, the fundamental churches are telling us that they have millions saved and even spirit-filled. He puts in question mark, spirit-filled. He said, can you call a woman spirit-filled who goes around with frizzy, bobbed hair and shorts or slacks or halter tops and briefs all painted up like a Jezebel? If these are adorned in modest apparel as becometh Christian women, I would hate to think that it would be like that if I had to witness a display of modesty. Now, I know the women don't set their styles by Hollywood, but Hollywood does. But listen, ladies, they still sell yard goods and sewing machines. He said, you don't have to buy what's in the stores. But I'll add this. But some women get so lazy, they don't want to do that anymore. They used to. There's no problem. But why does it become a problem? Because it really is the desire of the heart. And then they used to use that as an excuse. He said, this is such a deadly serious matter. So don't think, as I mentioned those things, it's not serious, because it is. Because what he said here. Have you not read the scripture that when a man looks on a woman lust after in his heart, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart, and no adulterer shall enter into the kingdom. I didn't say the scripture does. Okay? And suppose you dressed in such a way to cause that, and so many, I know you may get tired of saying it or hearing it, but so many women in this message are doing. Carry maybe a dress on, but if it ain't modest, friend, and if it's done something to express their breast, express their rear, show to cause them to be sexy, I'm just going to speak it plainly, it's definitely not modesty. That makes you his partner in sin, even though you would be absolutely unaware of it, being a true virgin with no such desires, yet God holds you accountable. And you will be judged. And the way of a transgressor is very hard. Very hard. See? So, just to refortify and build around what Brother Timothy already brought, and just show you how true that is. Now, and the prophet spoke of it many times. But, friends, as we come to the close of this service, I ask you to seriously, very seriously, to pray for me, because this burden is becoming very heavy. not to do the work of God. No. The burden is knowing you've been given a responsibility to get people through. And what if I miss? What's needed? And oftentimes you feel, as a minister, you feel you're missing something because people sometimes don't respond to the word that you give to them. Yet knowing in your heart, knowing the word of God, you know it isn't given to all to understand. But yet, to watch little sheep be stolen away, and be deceived. And it's been such a burden and such a load on me that it's affecting my health. And you think, oh, it's impossible. Or Steve, you're just a pastor of a little church. I thank God I'm not pastoring a church of 300 or 400 people. I couldn't do it. Because I take my job serious. I wake up early in the morning, can't go back to sleep. Some nights I can't hardly sleep. And I just lay there and whisper, talking to the Lord. Knowing, looking for what God wants. What is it going to take? When you know someone's being deceived, you know someone doesn't have the Holy Ghost, and you know the person thinks they do. It's a terrible situation, friends. And the load becomes so strong, so heavy. I've actually thought I've been having a heart attack the last few days again. My chest is just so tight and hurting, and it twists my stomach out. You know? What can I do, though? You know? I need your prayers. I need God's help, or I won't be able to continue to do this. No. There's no way without God's help. Because as Timothy mentioned, you can call crazy. But again, be careful you don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But the ministry is given a little bit of foresight that the laity don't know. If they don't, they're not true ministry. What good would we be to lead the sheep and to feed the sheep what they need if they're not ahead of the sheep? You see? A lot of people don't believe that and they don't accept it, but search it. You know? They understand some things the sheep don't understand. That's why they feed them what they do, because they need to understand things and they need to grow in different places in life, whatever it may be. So, do not blaspheme. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you think. I'll say this much. Even Saturday morning, early during the morning, during the night, the Lord woke me up and immediately placed something on my thoughts. I got up and began to search. And so don't feel odd against me because I wasn't at the funeral. I was in no shape to be at a funeral. No. I was in no shape for it. And to be around people and just rattling and their rattle traps flying. I said, Brother Steve, now come on. When you get in that spirit, friends, you're wanting to follow what God wants, regardless of what it is. As I said, I know some of you people may never understand, but be careful you don't blaspheme. If that was the Holy Ghost, you're on treading on dangerous waters to think evil against that. You see? And I'm no prophet, by no means. So don't get that in your little head. But God chooses men that he can lead by his spirit. And by God's grace, I want to do the best I possibly can. To feel I'd fall short of that would tear the heart out of me. You see? So pray for me. I need your prayers. Honestly, I do. Because say for the last 3 or 4 weeks especially, I've been so torn up. hard to deal with, especially when it affects your body and you're hurting and you're in pain and your wife's telling you need to go to the hospital, get checked. I know what it is. Been through it before, you know. But if God does take me before that time, before the rapture, stay with Brother Timothy. Stay with him. By God's grace, he'll lead you through. But oh, what a day that's going to be when I can lay this all down. Again, I know some of you don't understand, and you never will until you're in the shoes, the same shoes. Then you might understand. See, I'm not asking for no pity party, by no means. I'm just asking for help and prayer and God's blessings and strength. That's all I'm asking for. Amen. So pray for me. If you ain't got nothing else to do, remember Brother Steve in your prayers. Yeah. Sometimes I get so tore up, I just go off of myself and just cry like a baby. You know? Why? Because I love my sheep. I love you. See every one of you make it through. When I see Satan trying to work on somebody and deceives them, what can I do? It's too late. You know, I can just try my best. Give him the word. Pray for him. Trust it. God will not lose him. You see? Amen. So we thank the Lord for the message tonight our brother brought. It's just so precious. Let's bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, as we come before you, knowing that we're so weak, Lord, in ourselves. Lord, we are not the ones, as it was even with David, when he conquered Goliath, when he conquered the lion, when Moses split the Red Sea, when all these men done what they did. As you had done. And Lord, all these men, as we look back, they were weak without you. Lord, they come before you, didn't know what to do, didn't know how to handle things, didn't know what was going to expect. But then, Lord, when you move on the scene, you make all things work like it's supposed to work. So, Father, we just ask that you'd move on the scene, Lord, and just continue to work out this little place here. Lord, that a little bride would rise out of this little place. And Father, if you would come and take me home, Lord, I will not swallow. And Father, I will be looking for that heavenly home and go beyond the curtain of time. And Father, go with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll see old Brother Branham over there. Brother Bernard and Sister Rickers and many of them, Lord, has gone on before. Lord Jesus, may we look forward to that day. So, Father, we just ask that you be with these people and bless these sheep. And help us to feed them sheep food, Lord. The food that will nourish them and nurture them, Father, along the way. And Lord, let us not be a people be quick to judge and what you're doing or how you will move or what you will say through the word of God. And be careful, Lord, that we not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Father, help us to be the people you want us to be. I want to see every one of them saved, Lord. And Father, only you can stress upon each heart as an individual the need for the Holy Ghost if they do not have it. So I ask, Father, that you bless us. Now as we part from this little place, go with us, keep us safe. And again, Lord, bring us back the next appointed time we wish and tarry. And Father, may we give you all the glory for everything that you do in our lives. May God's blessing go with us now and help us to be understanding of the things that's been said. We ask it in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God bless you until we meet again. meet you up there.